we're going to spend all night in Numbers 11, but in John chapter 6, if you want to turn there, you can see it. I'm going to overview this, then we're going to stand and we're going to read a passage out of Deuteronomy, then we're going to jump to Numbers 11. I know that sounds disjointed. Trust me, it will all come together next week. Okay? So, in John chapter 6, this is what happens. Jesus shows up, and there's a large crowd of people that come to him, about 6,000 men, which means they've all got kids and family with them, so you're looking at maybe 12,000 people or more. And he says to his disciples, hey, get some food so we can feed these guys. And the disciples are like, what? Feed them? All of our money won't buy enough food for them. And he says, all right, bring me what you can. And they steal a little kid's lunch, which I think is awesome. Like, they bully somebody into giving them their, and the kid, yeah, he gives it to them. I'm making fun of it because I think it's funny that they're just like, well, this one kid over here has it. Give me that. You know, like, I honestly think that one of the disciples was like, anybody got any food? And some kid was like, my mom packed me up. What? Hey! You know, like, that's what I think. That's what. And so they bring it to Jesus. Jesus blesses it. And this is how it works, right? They're like, this is never going to work. This is, and they're passing out the food, right? They're like, this is never going to work. I can't believe that. How is, what, you mean, this is like the 18, there were only three fish, there were only three, and then at the end of it, they gather 12 baskets of leftovers, right, and the 12 baskets of leftovers shows us that God doesn't waste anything, right, because how many disciples are there, how many people need to eat at the end of the meal? 12 at the end of the meal. So 12 people eat at the end of the meal. God spares no expense, gives them all food, and then has left over enough to feed his servants. So Jesus feeds the 5,000. Then they have this miraculous scene where the disciples go across the water at night. And if you remember the story, they're freaking out because they see Jesus walking on water. And they're like, a ghost! And Jesus is like, nah, dude, it's just me. And he gets in the boat and they're on the other side of the water. Right, Jesus walks across the water. And then at the end of John chapter 6, who surrounds him again? Who surrounds him? The crowd, who happened to be what religion? Okay, everybody happens to Jewish. Yeah, the Jewish crowd surrounds him. The people of Israel surround him, and they begin to berate him and tell him, show us signs. Show us signs that you are who you say you are. As if feeding them and then walking on water was not enough, they grumble against Jesus, and he says, I am the manna come down from heaven. I am the bread from heaven. Now, I want you to think back to what you know about the Old Testament and what you've been taught about Moses. Remember, Moses frees people from Egypt. They have a big feast. God miraculously provides their food. They cross, they get pursued by the Egyptian army. They cross over the river on their feet, right? They walk over the Red Sea. You with me? So they have a big feast. They cross over the Red Sea. They get into the wilderness. God provides magic bread. Imagine it. You're starving. You walk outside in the morning and there's piles of bread. Not only piles of bread, but it tastes awesome. So, yeah. Like honey wheat bread, only better. No, I'll explain. We'll see what it tastes like, yeah. No, it tastes like honey. It tastes amazing. Exodus 31:6, I think, tells you, or 31:16 something, 13:6 something. I don't. We'll see it when it'll be on the slides. But we'll see it in Exodus. It tells you it tastes like honey, right? Honey wafers. So they eat this bread, and it's amazing. And what do they do to Moses? What do? Do you remember? They grumble and complain. Doesn't that sound like John chapter 6? Yeah. Right. So, in order to understand how... Do you want something to drink? Yep. Have coffee? Coffee. I don't have anything else out. There's some water. I didn't bring the hot water pile thing. Look at that. No, don't applaud me. Okay, so that's what one of the things I want to do before we jump into John chapter 6 is I want you to understand how we need to understand this story in the context of it being Yahweh, the Most High God, in the flesh. Okay, so we're going to read Numbers 11 as a warning, and we're going to study Numbers 11 tonight. And really, all it's going to be up there. There's going to be markings up there for you as we go. You're going to see what I'm pointing out. And all we're going to do tonight is read through it, and I've got a couple comments I'm going to make as we go. Deal? Okay? So there's not going to be, it's not going to make total sense till next week, right? But it's going to make a little sense, and you're going to see the gospel of Jesus Christ in it because the Bible goes in it. You should always go home and try to understand everything ahead of time. Yes, read John 6 for next week. Yeah. Good job. Okay, please rise in honor of God's word. We're going to read on the screen together. Deuteronomy. Bang. Okay. Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 18. Are you ready? The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from among your brothers. It is to him that you shall listen, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, "Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God or see this great fire anymore, lest I die." And the Lord said to me, "They are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you who is from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to the words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him." May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. You may be seated. All right, now flip to Numbers chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 4. At the end of John chapter 5, who's mentioned? Sweet. 15 points. Yeah, 15. What, did you want a gold star for Moses? It was kind of obvious. Huh? What? Why are you arguing? What? Huh? You don't know what I'm talking about? What are you? Moses is at the end of chapter 5. What? Not that? 15 points? You don't know what the points are? You can make one and I'll put it up over there. Chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. You guys ready? I'm sorry. I'm a little schizophrenic today. You ready? This rocks, this table. If you stand in the middle, it goes blink, blink, blink. No, the chair's great. Okay. Okay, let's go. We're going to study this together. Are you ready? Now the rabble that was among them had strong craving, and the people of Israel also wept again and said, "Oh, that we had meat to eat!" So let's look at this. In Numbers chapter 11, we have this idea that Moses, I've already talked about this a little bit, but Moses is a type for Jesus. Does anybody know what I mean when I say type? He's like the person that came before, like foreshadowing. Right. It's the idea of foreshadowing. Jesus, Moses is a foreshadowing of who Jesus is. So let's, just real quick, I'm going to list these off. Moses frees the people from slavery. All the people are awaiting the promised land. So they're all awaiting heaven, right? Like that's the imagery. They're in the wilderness waiting for heaven. You, right now, are said in the book of Hebrews to be in the wilderness awaiting heaven. So you are awaiting heaven. So there's miraculous provision. In the Bible, when they come out of the land of Egypt, God provides for them miraculously. Like I said, bread on the ground. Then for the people grumble against God's provision. There's grumbling against what God provides. And then what always seems to happen is they become overwhelmed and punished by excess. So this is what we're going to see here tonight. The people freed from slavery are awaiting the promised land. They're wandering in the wilderness. God is providing for them miraculously, and they still have the nerve to grumble. And then God punishes them not by taking everything away. He punishes them by giving them everything they want. This should be a deep, deep warning for us as American Christians. Our churches have everything we could ever want. Is that blessing or punishment? And we'll see it tonight. So let's look. I have an opinion, of course, which you're going to hear. It'll be great. Okay, so let's do this. Now, the rabble, check this out. They're a rabble, the next passage. Now, the rabble that was among them. So Jesus talks about the rabble. Go ahead, click the button. The rabble, right? So I told you, there's going to be little markings, and I want you to see them. Magic. I had Cassidy do it. She hit the button. It's called PowerPoint. Okay, so get this. Get this. Look at who's doing this. The rabble, right? Not the heads, not the awesome people, the rabble. So I want you to hear something Jesus says about the church. He says, the wheat and the tares will grow up together. What's a tare? Not that kind of tear, huh? The wheat and the tear, huh? The thorns, right. Thorns, weeds, nasty things that soak the life out of all the other things. That's the rabble, right? So if the wheat and the tares are going to grow up together in the church, you're going to have rabble around you from time to time. So check out what it says about this rabble. Next one. So now the rabble that was among them had a strong craving. A strong craving. So get this, these people have a strong desire for something. And this is what they desire. Go ahead and hit the button. They desire something other than God. These are people who are wanting something other than God. They're saying to God, you are not enough. I want more. More than you. Now, you seem shocked when I say that, but think about it this way. How many people do you know that if you said, I go to a church where we study and read the Bible, they're going to ask you, what else do you do there? Because I'm not going to come just for that. Right, I know tons of people who would not come just to study the Bible and hear God's Word, right? Do you hear it? They have a strong craving. They want something other than God. And if all you are giving them is God, they are the rabble. The rabble had a strong craving. And then it says, and the people of Israel wept again and said, oh, that we had meat to eat. And then they say, we remember in Egypt. Now, okay, before we go any further with this, what happened to them in Egypt? Cats? Yeah, there's a Sphinx pyramid thing, and did you know the Jews probably built that with whips? They were probably whipped to build it. It wasn't aliens. Don't believe the History Channel. So this is the idea. They remember something. Now, you remember what it was like in Egypt because you read the book, right? They were slaves, they were beaten, they were whipped, they weren't fed well. And look at what they say. The fish that we ate came at cost nothing. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. They're like Italian annoying people who just want pasta. Right, like, my pizza was so good back in Egypt. And this is what they're upset about. And look. But now our strength is dried up and there's nothing but this manna to look at. So, okay, get this through your head. This is what's happening. They are being fed magic bread. Like, they don't have to work for it. They don't have to do anything. They walk outside in the morning and it's on the ground. No bugs. It comes out with the dew. They walk out and they pick it up. And they can turn it into cakes. They can make things with it. They can cook with it. This is magic bread. And they think, they look at God and they say, God, we want meat. We remember in Egypt when we didn't have to pay for fish. cucumbers and melons. Did they have to pay for fish, cucumbers, and melons?
Yeah, yeah.
They had to pay. And so here's the second thing. Okay, so I want you to hear, huh? Same difference. It cost them something, right? Yeah, and this is the cool thing about the magic bread. God gave them an abundance of it. But he said, take as much as you want to eat. Eat as much as you want. You can have as much of the magic manna bread as you want. Manna, by the way, means specifically, what is it? Because they don't know how to describe it. It's so good. So it just means, what is it? Manna. What is it? What is it? So if you are ever like in a place and somebody's like, hey, let's go this way, you can go, manna. What is it? You know. It's not funny. I'm sorry. So so look at what they're doing. Here's the next one. They are living in glory days that never existed. So this is what the rabble does. Okay, so I want you to be careful because you are in church world. You are in church world. I want you to be careful. The rabble, the tares, the people who are not strong believers, the people who are not faithful to the Word of God, they ask for something other than God, and they point back to a glory day that never existed. I remember when so-and-so was pastor, or I remember when we had 8 million people in the pew. You look at them and you're like, the church only seats 500 at max. And they're like, well, I remember when there were 8,000. You're like, no, you don't either. Our parking lot won't even hold that many cars. Right? Like, this is absurd. But they're pointing back to a glory days that never existed. And they're living in those glory days, right? This is what the rabble does. They have these strong cravings for things other than God, and they live in a glory day that never existed. I tell you, as you grow older in the church, as you grow up in the American church, watch for this, because these people need your love, they need your grace, they need you to tell them about Jesus, they need you to suffer through it with them, they need you to work with them for the sake of salvation. Because yes, they're rabble, but they need to be saved. So, we continue. And the next one, it says, now the manna looked like coriander seed in its appearance, and its appearance was that of Delium. And the people went out and gathered manna on, and so get this. They go out and they gather it and ground it into handmills and beat it into mortars and boiled it into pots and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was like the taste of cakes baked with oil when the dew fell on the camp. In the night, the manna fell with it. So check this out. Bread is literally falling from heaven. Like, yeah, seriously. What? Right. Not only was it bread, but it was bread that gave a variety. Like, God is not, listen, the Lord Jesus is not boring. He is enough for you. He is more than enough for you. The devil and our enemy and this world wants you to think that there's other things you need. And so they want you to have strong cravings for nonsense. So this magic bread falls from heaven every day, and it's manna, right? There's the word, manna. Manna, right? That's how you'd say it in Hebrew. Manna, right? Manna. It's two words, ma, which is manna, which is like what, and then na, which is this. What's this? Or maze is another way to say the same thing, right? Like maze, like what are you talking about? Maze, right? So if you're ever around a Hebrew and they say something like something goofy and you want to challenge them, maze, you know? Or if you want to agree with them and you want to know what it is, mana, right? So I know, it sounds really weird. You would follow it with several words that you won't understand, like mana barukatan mahusuleva, like you know. By the way, This is totally unrelated, but somebody just said we need to spend time studying. Listen, if you show up at my house at 8 o'clock after my kids are in bed, and I'm home, and you look at me, and you bring people, and you say, we want to study the Bible, you will sit in my living room with me, and we will study the Bible word for word, verse for verse. You with me? If you are a bunch of girls, and you want to study the Bible, and you come over to my house after my kids are in bed, 8 o'clock, 8:30, and you say, hey, we want to study the Bible. Stephanie, we'll sit with you until midnight if you want to, if we are able, which most of the time on Friday nights, by the way, we are. So just so you're aware, and I tell you that because generations before you, the students who have come before you knew that, and a lot of them took advantage of it. And I never announced it. Like, I didn't tell them. They just showed up at my house. So listen, if it's 8:30 on Friday night and you're like, there's five of us, we want to study the Bible, and you want me to walk you through a book, come to the house, and I will walk you through a book until I am tired and kick you out. Right? Which usually is about midnight. Deal? So listen, I'm serious. If you guys really want to, show up. What? I don't know. I'm checking to see if Friday is busy because they want to come back and make more pizzas. So I'm checking to see if Friday is busy, and if Friday is not busy, then it'll be Friday. But... well, just okay. If it's after 8 o'clock, you can just text me and be like, "Hey, are you guys doing anything tonight?" And I'll tell you yes or no. And if I'm not, then just show up and we'll go through the Bible. I'm serious. Like, I'm serious. People used to do it all the time. You guys don't do it. I don't know why. So. Maybe it's just because you didn't know. Now you know. I'll go through it with you and we'll have hot tea. It'll be awesome. Okay, so let's keep going. I'm sorry. That was a loose talking. Okay. So let's move on to the next one. Moses heard the people weeping throughout their clans, everyone at the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord blazed hotly. Go to the next slide there. The next slide. Okay, Moses heard that the people weeping throughout their clans, everyone at the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord. Go ahead, click. Yeah, the anger of the Lord burned hotly. So check this out. God is not pleased. Why? Tell me. No. They don't trust him, but what are they? Huh? Right. They complained. What? You were going to say they complained? No. They're greedy? Yeah, you're right. They're greedy and they're grumbling. And here's how greedy they are. Here's how greedy they are. They're all in tents. They all live with their families. And they're all at the door of their tents going, "Oh Lord, why do you hate us? Why have you taken us from Egypt, from the land of plenty, and brought us here to the land of magic bread? I can't believe that you would make us live on magic bread alone." That's what they're doing. Magic bread is showing up, and they are going, "Lord, we want meat." So God gets angry. And second, the intercessor, Moses, was displeased. See it? Moses was displeased. The Lord's anger burns hot. And Moses is displeased, and Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you dealt ill with your servant, and why have I not found favor in your sight, that you lay the burden of me on this people?" Moses is ticked. Now remember, in the Old Testament, you are not Moses. No, Jesus is Moses. You are not the ones able to go up on the mountain and talk to God. Jesus does that. Moses does that. Moses is the type for Jesus. You with me? Who are you in the story? Right. We're the people that are complaining. Right. We complain a lot. We do. We complain a lot. We never have pizza. Right. So, Moses, you ain't going to get it if you complain neither. So, right. So the Lord, because I'm not the Lord, so I'm not going to give you excess. Maybe I should. I don't know. Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you dealt ill with your servant, and why have I not found favor in your sight that you lay the burden of this people on me?" Now listen. Okay, if that's Jesus talking, I never, ever want that to be said by my master about me. Look at what he says. Have I not found favor in your sight that you lay the burden of this people on me? Can you imagine how much Jesus loves you and if he said that about you? Like, that hurts me to think about. Right. I'm sick of this. I'm tired of this. Right? Like, that's, doesn't that hurt you to think about Jesus saying that about his church? Right. We don't have to be this way. We don't have to be this way. And we're going to see how we can not be this way as we go along. But so, next slide here. Did I conceive? So Moses is still talking. He says, did I conceive this people? Did I give them birth that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom and nurse them as a nursing child to the land that you swore to give their fathers? Where am I going to get meat to feed all this people? For they weep. Now, you saw the parallel, right? Did you hear that? Did you hear it? Jesus says, feed them. And what did the disciples say? Where are we going to get the food to do this? Moses is acting like the disciples here to God. He's acting like them. Where am I going to get this to feed them? And he says, where am I going to get meat to solve this problem? For they weep before me and say, give us meat that we may eat. I am not able to carry this people. The burden is too heavy for me. If you will treat me like this, kill me at once if I find favor in your sight that I may not see my wretchedness. Now, whose wretchedness does he say he doesn't want to see? His own. Right, because Moses understood something that we need to understand. And that's that the rabble, the people of strong craving, the people who are in our midst, the rabble are who we are. They are part of us. The annoying kid in the youth group is part of you. He just raised his hand. I thought I'd thumbs up. Right? Like, the kid, you're not annoying. The kids who are obnoxious, that you don't like to be around, that sit in the bus and annoy the mess out of you on the way to camp, those students are you. You are all part of the body of Christ. Stop staring at Cole. Come on. You are all part of the body of Christ. So the weakest member among you is yours, shares your wretchedness, shares your weakness. That's something that our brothers and sisters at other churches don't get. That's something they don't understand. That the weakest Christian among us is part of us simply because they're believers. Which is why you need to weep for the rabble and pray for the rabble and work for the rabble to know Christ. That's why. So, look at the next one. Then the Lord said to Moses, gather for me 70 men of Israel. So gather for me. Look at that. Gather. Go ahead. Hit the button. Gather. Boom. Again. Bam. Gather. So look at this, gather for me 70 men. So first thing, leadership is shared. Listen, our Christian walk is shared. No matter how strong of a leader you have up front, it is a shared ministry. You understand me? Leadership is shared. It's something that's shared. So God says to Moses, gather for me 70 men of Israel, whom you know. Next one, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. So leadership is not only shared, but positions of leadership are earned. Positions of leadership are earned. They're not handed. They're not given. See, he has to know these elders. He has to know these people. He has to know who they are. So you earn these things by being around. Why are you staring at him? What's wrong with you too? So the people earn this leadership. Right? So first, leadership is shared. Second, leadership is earned. And third, we keep reading, it says, and I will come down and meet with you there, and I will take some of the spirit that is on you, and I will put it on them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, so that you may not bear it yourself alone. Leadership is best in community. So hear me. Leadership is done best in the community of faith. You want to learn how to be a strong Christian. You want to learn how to have brothers and sisters in Christ. You want to learn to make a difference. You want to walk in the kind of Holy Spirit power that changes people's souls. It's done in community, so that you don't have to bear this alone. You don't have to bear this alone. It is always done in community. So next one. And it says, he says, say to the people, consecrate yourself tomorrow, and you shall eat meat. Now check this out. This is what the Lord says to those who want more than Him. Pay close attention. Look at this screen with me. Say to the people, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow you shall eat meat. For you have wept in the hearing of Yahweh, saying, who will give us meat to eat? For it was better for us in Egypt. Therefore, the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. This sounds like a great thing, right? Until we go to the next slide. You shall not just eat one day or 2 days or 5 days or 10 days or 20 days, but a whole month until it comes out of your nose and becomes loathsome to you because you have rejected Yahweh who is among you and have wept before Him saying, why did we come out of Egypt? This is not a good thing. This is not a good thing. Yes, ma'am. This is a good question. Until it comes out of your nose, right? This is in the Old Testament. When you say somebody's angry, you say their nostrils flared. Right? So what he's saying is, I'm going to give you so much of it that it's going to make you angry. You will be mad because of the stuff I give you. So here's the thing. Here's the thing. Back in the 1980s, our churches said, Lord, we want more. We said we want more. We said we want big buildings. We said we want lights and we want fancy speakers and we want music and we want amazing bands. Our churches said we want more people. We want more. 8 million in 88 was one of the cries of the Baptist Convention. 9 million in 98 was one of the cries of the Baptist Convention that failed. Praise the Lord. And you had all these cries for more. And here's the problem. God gave it to us. But what we learned from Numbers is that, and hit the button, excess is a curse, not a blessing. Excess of pleasure is a curse, not a blessing. I want you to think about this. The American colonies were founded by a bunch of people who wanted freedom of religion. All kinds of religion, not just Christianity. They wanted freedom of religion. They wanted freedom from tyranny. They didn't want the church to be ruled by the government. They wanted to be free. This is a beautiful thing. Somewhere along the line, we began to tell the Lord that He was not enough. Somewhere down the line, we began to stand up as churches and ask the Lord to give us meat because it was better for us when we were under the tyranny of somebody else. Somewhere down the line, we began to exchange honest, simple faith in the Bible and the Word of God for more stuff. And somewhere down the line, He handed us excess of pleasure. And think about it. Isn't every pleasure you want at your fingertips? In America, we have every pleasure we want at our fingertips. So we ask the question, why does the church thrive in places where it's illegal? Because they don't have the excess. Why is it in foreign countries, when you show up and you say, I'm having a Bible study at my house on Tuesday, you will have 50 to 60 people show up just because you said, I'm going to talk about the Bible. And in the United States, we're too busy to do that. I don't mean, I'm not picking on you. I would say any day of the week. Tuesday just popped into my head. I'm really not. I'm not picking on you. Why is it that we can't find time to gather for the Word of God for fun unless it's a program? Here's the reason. Here's the reason. Look, excess is a curse, not a blessing. When you have excess of stuff, is it fulfilling? For a few minutes. Then it gets old and it becomes a curse and you want more. Yeah, when you have excess, it's not fulfilling, it's temporary, it's fleeting. And I know all of you are understanding, and this is the beautiful thing about you as students here, you understand this. So you have the opportunity to overcome it before it takes you. Excess is a curse, not a blessing. So God hands them the excess, and we move on. It says, but Moses said, the people among whom I am number 600,000 on foot, and you have said, I will give them meat that they may eat a whole month. Shall flocks and herds be slaughtered for them, and that be enough for them? Or shall the fish of the sea be gathered together and be enough for them? So God says to Moses, I don't trust you. Moses says to God, I don't trust you. Moses says to God, I don't trust you. I don't trust you to fulfill this. Look at what God says. Look at what God says. Don't worry. If you're depressed, don't worry. It gets better, okay? Stay with me. If you're getting sad by this story, it gets better. Don't worry. So God says to Moses in the next verse, and the Lord said to Moses, Yahweh said to Moses, is Yahweh's hand shortened? Is Yahweh's hand shortened? Now you shall see whether my word will come true for you or not. So look at that. Is Yahweh's hand, click it, is Yahweh's hand shortened? Is the Lord's hand shortened? What's the answer? No! No, God's hand is not shortened. God can do whatever He deems to do. And God stands up and says, you want meat? I'll give you meat till it comes out of your ears. Yeah, I know, nose. But He says, I'll give you meat until you are upset because you have it. Moses goes, where is the meat going to come from, Lord? Now, okay. If they got the flocks, get this, what's about to happen next is amazing. If they get all the sheep and stuff, and they kill it and they slaughter it, who could they say did it? They did it. If they go fishing and they catch a bazillion fish, who could they say did it? Watch what God does. This, they cannot take credit for. Are you ready? Okay, so here's what happens next. God calls the elders. There's a little interlude. I'm just going to skip past it. God calls the elders. God distributes the Spirit on them. So all the elders gather before God to hear this message. God takes some of the Spirit from Moses and gives it to all the elders. They all prophesy for a few minutes. And there's two guys in the camp who start prophesying. And then Joshua's like, hey, other people can't prophesy. Moses is the only one. And Moses goes, seriously, you're going to be jealous because other people are talking about Jesus. It's the same thing that happens to Jesus, by the way, in the Gospels, when there's two guys casting out demons in Jesus' name, and the disciples are like, hey, quit that. You're not part of our team. And Jesus is like, don't tell them to stop. What's wrong with you? And so the same thing happens here. So that's what happens there. Moses accepts God's plan for multiple leaders. But here's what I want you to see. Next one. Here's what I want you to see. Then a wind from the Lord sprang up, and it brought quail from the sea. They can't even take credit for where it came from. It came from the ocean. They can't even be like, we scared them out of the bushes. They can't even be like, it just comes out of the ocean. The birds come out of the ocean.
They're flying fish.
They sprang up and brought quail from the sea and let them fall beside the camp, about a day's journey on this side and a day's journey on the other side. So get this. They're sitting in camp and they hear, yeah, they fall dead on the outside of the camp and all they got to do is walk to go pick them up. That's it. And then look at what it says. Around the camp and about 2 cubits above the ground. Okay, a cubit is about 18 inches right here to here, right? Two of those. The birds are stacked this high. You follow? Around the camp. The camp held 600,000 people. And it surrounds the camp with a 2.5-foot wall of dead birds. Do you see how amazing? Can they take credit for that? No. On one side and the other one, about 2 cubits above the ground. And the people rose all that day and all that night and all the next day. Now that's a Hebrew idiom, okay? When it says all that day, all the next day, all that night, what it's saying is day after day, it rose. They rose up and they got birds. Day after day, they rose up and they got birds. It's not just talking about 2 days. Day after day, they rose up and they got birds. And then it says, those who gathered least gathered 10 homers. That's enough. Okay, I want to give you perspective. That's enough for you to feed. That's all the food, like that's enough food for D now, for everybody given to one person. Right? You know how much food you eat at D now? I know because I buy it. So check it out. And they spread them out for themselves all around the camp. There is so much. There's a 2.5-foot wall of dead birds around the camp. And they take them and they spread them all over the camp and everybody has birds to eat. And they eat and they eat and they eat. Watch what happens next. Next slide. There you go. While the meat was yet between their teeth and before it was consumed. So get this. They cook some of the birds. They're all excited because they're about to have their excess of pleasure. The anger of Yahweh was kindled against the people, and the Lord struck down the people with a very great plague. Oh, dang. This is excess of pleasure, not excess of Jesus. So here's the consequence. The consequences of excessive pleasure are these. In the midst of our self-indulgence, punishment will come. So listen. Look around at the church in America. What's the number one complaint? The Spirit of the Lord is not there. That's the honest number one complaint. The Spirit of the Lord is not there. In the excess of pleasure, punishment will come. Right? Second, next one. The Lord is the only sufficient joy. So learn this lesson well, students. Learn this well because you're going to be told other things. The Lord is the only sufficient joy. And then finally, the Lord will judge. The Lord will judge. And that judgment will begin with the house of God. The Lord will judge. It's promised to us in 1 Peter, by the way, that it will begin with the house of God. So we move to the next one, right? And so what to do in John 6? All this is set up for John 6. I know this has been a heavy lesson, but again, I don't think you're dumb. I think you're smart, and I think you can keep up. So hear me. What to do in John 6? So here it is, right? First, when we read John 6, we have to take Jesus as he is. Take Jesus as he is. Don't take him for what you want him to be. Take him as he is. It's a whole lot better to take him as he is, because as he is better than what you want. Second, trust that he knows better than you. Trust that Jesus knows better than you. Listen, this is really hard for us to do when we're following the Lord and trying to listen to him, because we tend to think that we know better. But God knows better than us. Second, or third, exchange your righteousness for His. So trust in Jesus, not only as a guide, but as His righteousness. Listen, you can't do enough good stuff to be saved. But Jesus has done it for you, and if you trust in Him to save you, you will be saved. Finally, worship Him for who He is and not who you want Him to be. This is the amazing thing about Christ. Worship Him for who He is and not who you want Him to be. Because if you worship Him for who He is, you will see glories unmeasurable. You will see majesty beyond belief. You will see great things. Trust Him. Worship Him for who He is and not who you want Him to be.